Amen.
For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body.
Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body.
Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs.
So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire.
And see how great a forest a little fire kindles.
Number 6.
And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles that whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell.
For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind.
But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison.
Okay, well, here we go. I've mentioned before that, the scripture sometimes is very edifying and sometimes it's very challenging through the exhortations that it brings. Well, James is being very negative and exhorting us, but about a very vital matter, because let's face it, the tongue is a most active part of our body, wouldn't you say? Okay, so I'm going to look at verse 3 to begin with, where he says, behold, and he keeps repeating this in this chapter about the tongue, behold. He wants us to really pay attention to this and get it down. Let's really examine this. And he uses the illustration of putting a bit in the horse's mouth that they might obey us, and so we can turn their whole body around. So we need to pay attention. This bits that we put in the horse's mouth, how big are they? How big is a bit that you put in the horse's
mine
mouth?
Is about like that.
Pretty small for a the size of a horse, right?
It goes in its mouth.
Like the tongue is a pretty small part of the body as well. And he says that he's talking about the bridle, and I noticed that I was wondering if he got this from Psalms 39:1, Lydia. Look at that there. Yeah, though it's a small thing, it has great influence over the whole body.
I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me.
See there? Now, I think of several New Testament verses when I read that, but this is one of them right here, where he says pretty much he'll control his speech, and particularly he'll be careful when he's around the unregenerate, right? The most, being even more careful. Well, the scripture does say in the New Testament, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. And when it talks about those who are without, that means those who are unbelievers. So the tongue is very unruly and needs to be restrained so that it doesn't ruin the rest of the body. But like I said, and I just put this in here, the tongue can be used in a very positive, godly manner as well. I mean, we need to be able to speak, and if we're to you know, minister to each other. And we have to talk. So we use our tongues in a very positive way as believers as well. And the scriptures talk about us using our speech to worship God with our mouth, with our words, exalting Christ, edifying one another. And so it can be very healthy. And then the other illustration are the ships that are so easily turned by the rudder. And again, in the King James, he begins by saying, behold, there as well. He's really wanting people to get this. We are to consider this pay attention to it, think it over. Not that we want to be rash about things, but we want to really meditate about how we talk. That's what it boils down to. Okay, so these ships are turned around with just a very little influence of the rudder, and so the whole body is influenced by the power of the tongue. And with the ships, though it be driven with fierce winds, well, we can compare that to the temptations and things that would cause us or incline us to not use our tongues as we should. There are times where we lose control of what we say. We talked a little bit about that because of anger issues or pride issues. Like Nebuchadnezzar, he went out into the porch and bragged and boasted how he had constructed this glorious kingdom that he was the king over all the world, basically. And of course, then he ended up being out there in the fields with the dew of the fields and the feathers of the bird, until he would realize that God is the one who promotes one and sets down another. Okay, so we get these fierce passions that happen once in a while. And so we have to be careful that we don't lose control of what we say during those times. And let's face it, we want to always remember that what we say is the result of what's in our hearts. So it's a thermometer, so to speak, to show us what our spiritual condition really is. Okay, so verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Well, it usually boasts exalting self and by tearing down others, right? That's how the wicked tongue, wicked speech, can be used, by tearing down others to build themselves up with. I mean, we're all real familiar with that. But we've seen it as well, an unrestrained or uncontrolled speech in certain situations can do a lot of harm, can it not? And we've seen that in families, in personal relationships, marriages, churches, you know, where people get very defensive about what they believe. And let's face it, the scriptures are the most important thing. They're the revelation of God to us. And the way we see what they mean and interpret them is we take that means a lot to us. And if somebody challenges that and we can't defend that, and then, you know, when you're on the losing end of an argument, then you usually start humiliating the person and trying to tear them down because you can't defend your position. Okay, so MacArthur goes so far as to say it can lead to murder and war, which it does, doesn't it, eventually? Boy, we're seeing that nowadays a lot, aren't we? So we have to resist the temptation to boast. Although there is a godly boasting in the scripture, we can boast in the Lord, and we should be doing that. That's something we're told to do, boast in the Lord. All the Old Testament prophets, they wrote things. The psalmist, of course, did as well. So we are to speak gracious words, kind words, words that edify, comfort, bless, and encourage. We should speak out of humility, gratitude, with peace and holiness, and with wisdom. And all of that is only possible. So we're talking about something that it can't be tamed, basically, here, right? The tongue is this unruly evil. And we can ask that question as well. Okay, we know that unbelievers are under the power of the flesh, and the devil influences them powerfully. But what about believers now? We've been made new creations in Christ. What about us? Are we under this evil influence of the tongue? Well, we'll see that actually, we are actually under that heading as well. And we'll see scriptures concerning that. Like David, you know. David said with his mouth to the Lord that he would never deny the Lord, right? No matter what. And then what do we find in this next chapter? There he's cursing the Lord when the maid identifies him as one of the disciples of Christ. And then he starts cursing and swearing. Oh, wow, that's... So can believers...
You said David.
Oh, I meant Peter.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at David here. I've got examples from him, too. Okay. So we have this, ability. We haven't lost the flesh, have we? We still have the flesh. And so as believers, we're told to not walk after the flesh anymore, but to walk after the Spirit, because they're contrary to the other. And so if we are in the Spirit, we are therefore to walk in the Spirit. And so the real answer to the control of the tongue is to walk in the Spirit. And so, because the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And we don't have the power to overcome this evil influence of the tongue after the flesh unless we're walking in the Spirit. And then we will produce the temperance that we should have if we are walking in after the Spirit. That's the real key. That, to me, tells me that before I start my day, when I pray to the Lord, I should ask the Lord to give me enough of the Holy Spirit's influence for the day to keep me in control. Because it's not going to be my power that makes it through. It's got to be Him working in me. And so we want the Holy Spirit to work in us, like it's written, to will and to do after God's good pleasure. But that's important. We can't do it ourselves. It's got to be the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Okay, then again, we're looking at an illustration of the propensity of the tongue to corrupt, like fire. Boy, and here we've got the man here to tell us all about that. Behold, what a great matter a little fire kindleth. And again, the King James says, behold, you know, consider this, consider fire and its destructive power and how quickly it takes over. You know, we don't think about, you know, that too often, but we are all aware of what can cause a fire, are we not? You know, like grease fires in the kitchen. We have to be careful about that. We all know we're supposed to throw water on the grease.
Well, you just make it a more fun job for the firefighter.
But, you know, I've had a couple of cases where fires really, really scared me. One of them I did call the fire department, and I've told you about that, where the homeless camp guy has stolen enough 2x4s and stuff that he was building quite a structure out there, even though it was out in the field. But when we were always burning them, but this one got really, really hot and was spreading, and there were trees, and I called the fire department, and they came out, and they just filled. I had a little 200-gallon tank on my pickup, and they filled it with that foam type stuff, so that I didn't run out,
right.
and I was able to control it then that way. But the other time, I was in a little Volkswagen Bug, and I don't know why I didn't have a company vehicle, but the boss sent me out to a toll gate. You know where toll gate is? Just past Sisters, going up the Santiam Highway. There's a little development called Tollgate. Well, that used to be owned by the company I worked for, Brooks Resources. And they were getting ready to develop that area and make lots. And they had a lot of slash piles out there that were that they wanted burned. And so he sent me out there with some diesel and gas in my Volkswagen Bug. There were no mobile phones or anything like that. I'm just out there in Tollgate. In that time, there wasn't any houses or anybody around there. And I started setting these off. And man, I'm telling you, some of these fires really were licking the limbs on these trees. And I'm just like,
whoa,
there's not going to be houses in there. There's not going to be a development here. That was just terrible.
That's scary.
Yeah. But there was snow, and, you know, you get the fire going under those trees, they just start raining the water, you know. And that actually is probably what saved me. But, man, that homeless camp, that was just like, it just in a second, it just got way out of hand, you know.
And, that's scary.
You know, people do that with their own lots there, you know, especially if you live out in the country a little bit and you get a few acres, and then they just feel like they can just burn out there, no problem, you know. And, you know, Jeffrey, our son, when he lived out there in Tumalo, he had a lot of trees, and there were a lot of dead branches, and somebody had left a lot of lumber and it deteriorated. And I went out there with him one day, and we just made a giant pile out there like they do out there in those areas. And you light those things up. And you know, we had water and everything. But even with the hose there that we had, we were like, I don't think we're really under control here.
Getting out heat, the hose doesn't even matter.
I know, it doesn't.
Just, man. It evaporates before it gets there.
But, you know, We think about, you know, we're having these controlled burns, right, that have been happening now for a number of years. And what happens sometimes with these controlled burns? They're uncontrolled, right? Next thing we know, we got a huge forest fire going out there because of the controlled, the people who are experts at starting and controlling, having a controlled fire. And yet the next thing we know, he's
Forest Service.
But, you know, it happens because, you know, you get a wind change and things like that. And
unpredictable.
And yeah, next thing you know, you're in big trouble, you know. But there's a lot of things like that that happen. And boy, they are destructive, aren't they? Those fires, they burn everything. I mean, when you see them go through those housing areas, I think particularly that one in Paradise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we had, you know, relatives. You know, Jeff's daughter lived down there.
She did.
Yeah. What was the name of their town?
Huh?
Oroville, which is right there by Paradise.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, they took people in.
Okay.
Their church did.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, man, you look at that. I mean, when it goes through a housing area, all you ever see is like the fireplace. Yeah. And that's about it.
Yeah.
Boy, I mean, and even that one that went through our town here, that
the Aubrey
Hall fire. That, you know, when I was trying to, that was what?
90s. Late 90s.
30 years ago.
More than 20 houses and stuff.
But it was a big fire, and I had that 200-gallon pickup, and they called me and they said, you know, you better protect, you know, Mount Bachelor Village or something like that. I don't know, I think it was Aubrey Butte. They were worried it was going to go up on Aubrey Butte. And so I was up there on Aubrey Butte, and I'm watching this fire, and it's really going, you know. And it's headed toward Mount Bachelor Village, you know. So I let that, and I thought, well, it's, you know, I'm the water operator for Sunrise Village, which is the property right on the border of Mount Bachelor Village. And the fire did go through there, you know, and I was going to make sure they had the fire hydrants that they could use when they go in there. And then they cut the power off. And so the pumps weren't working.
<I need those. laughs>
I guess they thought they didn't need them, you know, I don't know. I guess it's important to have the power off.
I don't think so. Not that situation.
Yeah. Anyway, they didn't use them. But, you know, that fire really, it took out a lot of houses in there that I was serving, you know, with the water.
Geez.
I can remember going in there, you know, and there would be like, a broken water line that under the sink, and you could just, and there was just a stream of water shooting out there. But there was nothing of that house left. You know, just rubble.
It's pretty horrid.
Yeah, it is.
See that this destroys lives and everything you've got, you know, just gone. You know, it's just,
yeah, when a really hot fire goes through there, it doesn't just burn wood and paper. It's burning everything.
Yeah, yeah, well, unless, you know, melting. Except for your stone fireplace. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it melts everything.
And it does.
It destroys it. Yeah.
Nothing left. It's amazing. Well, this is what we're supposed to consider the damage that our tongues can do. Just a little bit, you know. We start off with just a little strife, argument, or whatever. And the next thing, you know, we've got a full-blown conflict going on here.
I think back, not to get off on a side show, but we had this big family thing that went on over the summer. It was big between Jenna's family. And hurt Jenna so bad. I was so mad. I think I kind of told you this story, but I was like white hot. And I was at the point where I was like, okay, I'm going to call Jenna's parents. And I am going to make sure that this is a scorched earth, that there's no coming back. I will be so mean. And that's exactly what I was thinking. That's how mad I was. I didn't care. And I'm very thankful for my wife who begged me, you know, and I finally relented. And, but that's the thing, you know, and then when that heat comes down, you know, then you're like, wow. It would have been devastating.
Yeah.
Because I wanted it to be devastating. So that's how mad I was. And it just made me think that you said that forest fire, how it just...
That's how it is, isn't it?
Like, mm-hmm. And it would have made it untenable to ever, for Jenna ever to probably get back with her parents or family or anything. It would have been bad. So just... But it scares me. You know, that's the thing, is it scares me that potential is inside of me, you know. And if Jenna hadn't been there, you know, probably would have done it. How's that, man? So that's what I picture when you just talk, you know, the scriptures talk about a forest fire. I just go, oh, man.
Very destructive. I mean, we get very passionate about things. And if we can't restrain ourselves, we can really bring a lot of trouble.
Yep.
The tongue is a fire. Oh, man. A world of iniquity. I mean, James just can't make it bad enough, can he? He just adds one thing after the next. Oh, man. MacArthur says he feels that verse is the strongest statement against the danger of the tongue in the entire Bible. Right there, this verse right here, verse 6. Well, it presents four elements about the tongue's danger, what it can do. Well, it's a world of iniquity. A whole world of iniquity, you know, not just a part of a city or a county of iniquity, a state of iniquity. The whole world of iniquity is just the worst. He says world here refers to a system of evil, which it world a lot of times is interpreted as that. You know, sometimes world means Christians, sometimes world means unbelievers, sometimes world means the earth. But most of the time, the world is meaning a system of evil and rebellion. And it's the source of all unrighteousness. No other bodily part has such far-reaching potential for disaster and destruction as the tongue. Okay, secondly, the tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. And again, we see that in the fire, don't we? I mean, it just, you start a little fire there, and the next thing you know, boy, it's burning everything. It spreads, it contaminates, and it permeates. It leaves a trail, or you know, we drive through the pass, the mountain passes, and we still see the effects of that forest fire, you know. And I mean, it took forever just to kind of get it somewhat back to some semblance of normalcy there, because there were logs and wires and landslides and rocks and just a mess. And you always wondered if you'd make it through, you know. But there were just logs everywhere. They were just cutting trees down everywhere because they were burnt and they weren't sure how stable they were, and they were going to fall on the highway and stuff. So they had to, you know, get those out. And what a mess. Smoke. Sometimes the smoke ruins the house almost as bad as the fire.
For sure.
Yeah. And people can't get rid of it. You know, that smoke really permeates. That's kind of telling us the lasting effects of the destruction of fire. You know, that it just permeates into everything and it's hard to get rid of it. And then the tongues sets on fire the course of our life. Well, how we speak and how we control the things that we say kind of determines where we go in life. You know, if you kind of hang around with people who are real filthy spoken people usually end up kind of being part of that crowd. If that's the way you want to speak as well with those kinds of people, then you just kind of end up being like them then. You know, it can kind of determine where you go in life. It has effects. We're known by what we say. So if we're in a group of people who they just like to slander and use dirty language and all of them destroy other people that way, they're going to be in a destructive life pattern. And then the last and most stringent of all is the tongue is set on the fire of hell. Wow, when you think of the fire of hell, you know, what was James thinking about there? Well, he had all of the Old Testament scriptures as well as the Gospels that, you know, were there. The commentators seem to think that that was implying more of a continual fire, you know. And, you know, hell in the Bible has different words that describe different things. Sometimes it just means the grave. And so, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses will like to use those and to show that there is no hell fire. There's only the grave, and that's what hell actually means. And they'll show you verses that would prove that. But then you can always show them verses where Jesus says that they're in danger of hell fire and see what how they can answer that one. Well, because hell is sometimes a place of fire and not just the grave. And we know the rich man and Lazarus, right? People wonder whether that's a real story or whether it's a parable. Well, Jesus didn't say that I'm going to tell you a parable. He just says that there was a rich man and there was Lazarus, a poor man. The dogs licked his sores and all of that. And when they died, the rich man, he was buried. And then it says in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham and Lazarus up there. And he begged for a drop of water that might cool his tongue. Well, that sounds pretty hot to me. Unquenchable fire. And sometimes it's referred to from the word Gehenna. And that's really the worst hell fire in the Bible, Gehenna. That's where they take the Valley of Hinnom. You know what the Valley of Hinnom, what it was?
Wasn't
it a big garbage pit?
All kinds of stuff there.
Where many ungodly activities occurred, including offering your children to the god Molech, who was some kind of a statue who held his arms out, and they would heat up his arms with fire so hot that when they placed the child on the arms, it burnt to death. That's how horrible that was. And that is a picture of hell. And that is a nightmare picture of hell. Yeah, it was supposed to just be the place where garbage was, but they, people that were excommunicated or foreigners or people who were overcome in battle were thrown in that garbage and burnt there as well. You can imagine the stench of that place. Well, hell is Satan's place, actually, because Jesus said that it was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's how God made hell, was for them. So it just is saying that the tongue can be influenced by the devil and by all evil, the world of iniquity. It's a fire. I wrote down other things here about how we're very careful about fires if we have any wisdom at all. And I thought here lately we've seen these lithium batteries exploding. Mm-hmm. Oh, my word. Now we're wondering if we want lithium batteries, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I am. I know when I worked in the interior maintenance of the condominiums, one time it was brought to my attention that it was important which light bulb I was replacing the burnout light bulbs with. Because if they were rated for 60 watt and I put 100 watt ones in there, you know, people will say, could you put in a little higher wattage one there? It's not dark enough. It's not bright enough in here. No, I can't.
Hey, just a little side note on the lithium batteries. If, let's say, you're entering an elevator and somebody enters in with one of those electric scooters and they go in there, just wait until the next elevator. Because they showed us a video in the fire department of somebody going into an elevator with a, you know, one of those scooters, and it ignited. And it basically turns the elevator, turned into a kiln.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was just that person. I mean, now it's bad enough. I mean, there wasn't a bunch of people in there, but made everybody just kind of go.
I'll say.
Okay. You know, next time that situation occurs, I'm going to be like, hey, you go ahead. I'll take the stairs.
Well, we need some education about this.
There's no getting out of there if you're inside that elevator. It's like you're done.
Oh, man. We use the elevators too, don't we?
Well, not everybody has a partner, but, it's just something where you just kind of go.
Yeah, man.
Things happen.
Yeah. Oil or gas rags.
Yeah.
People just throw them in the garage, Gets really hot outside and stuff, You know, I get those gas rags and stuff. I try to put them in a bucket and then put them and have the bucket full of water, They're just in water in their bucket. House wiring, that's another one, right? Mm-hmm. Cigarette butts. I don't know how many fires I had to put out before they became real fires, but sometimes it was a close call because people would come down from the upstairs, and the stairs are outside. You come out the porch, you go out down the stairs, and they flick that cigarette butt in the bark bed. And those bark beds, they don't show for a while.
They'll burn for a long time.
But man, when they start, man, they are hot. Yeah. And this one, there's one I'm thinking of in Ski House 2 that came burnt right up to the building of the steps, and where it was wood right there on the next to there. Boy, that was a close call. Yeah, and people go off the highway in the tall grass when they're mufflers and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the catalytic converter.
Yeah, we'll start those things.
Even tools, like when they're out disking, land where they're...
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll do it too. Those sparks hitting the rocks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Doesn't take much, boy, and then you get a little fire going. Well, one thing that my company did, which was smart, was that every company vehicle had to have a current fire extinguisher in the vehicle and know where it was. And it was my job to make sure that they were checked every year.
Tested.
Yeah, so, there's this guy in town who did that. I tried to gather them all for him so he didn't have to try to go to every vehicle. But, that's a good thing to have, isn't it? Unkind words or words spoken in anger stir up the flames of revenge, etc. Well, you know, this, you know, they say for every action, there's an equal reaction, right? So the way that people say things sometimes brings back a reaction stronger than what they were giving. Sometimes unintentional, but sometimes intentional.
I'm sure someone else has said this before, but I always say sin begets sin. So it's like, you know, it's like I hammer somebody and then, oh yeah, and then, you know, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
And it takes you know, I think about as the Christian, so let's say that somebody says something very offensive to me where my reaction is to get them back.
Right.
But, you know, hopefully, you know, that the Holy Spirit can grab a hold of me and go, no, and you can stop right there.
Right.
And not only stop right there, but then forgive them, which is the hardest part. Oh, even harder than stopping, I think. So that's what I always think, that as Christians, we're to stop that process.
Yes.
Otherwise, it just it's like ping pong. It just keeps, and then the ball gets bigger and the paddles get bigger.
It does.
You know.
Yeah. Like our neighbors, you know. You know, we were having trouble with their kids.
You know? Oh, I remember you telling me a story. Yeah, that's fun. You guys actually handled it pretty well.
You know, they're doing something to provoke us, and then we're reacting. Then they're doing something more.
They'll never stop.
We build that fence, and then they poked all the knot holes out of it so they could still harass us. And then, so we try to cover those up, and then we built a big platform so they could get up and look over the fence and still harass us.
That's a nightmare scenario. A platform.
Well, you know, first, you know, you can have an argument in words, but then the next thing you know, they go to fisticuffs.
Sure.
And then they pull out a weapon.
Sure.
And
well, it happens all over the place all the time.
Yeah, that's what happens right there.
But it's amazing how fear in the throes of that, if you say, hey, I'm sorry, I was wrong. It immediately, usually the next person goes, oh, you're right. You just need that one word spoken in due time.
There was a guy at work that was, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but sometimes people just don't like you, even if you haven't done anything to them. Mm-hmm. And that happened to me quite a bit. It seemed like at work, some guy would just decide, I don't like you. And, you know, so I just, it was weird. It's just weird personalities, you know. I'm like going back in my head, like, did I do something to this guy? But anyway, so there was this guy that every time I would see him at work, he was just like really biting and cutting and insulting. And I wasn't retaliating. I would just kind of be like, yeah, I don't know what this guy's deal is. So anyways, I tried to like work my way through it, but one day I decided, I go, you know what? I'm going to be really, really nice to this guy. Because what he's expecting, there's an expectation. It's like, I'm picking on you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're expecting that. That's how it works.
Yeah.
But instead, I decided, okay, that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to come up to him. And I put my arm on his shoulder. Right when I saw him, hey, man, how's everything going, man? And being legitimate, I mean, I was just really trying to be nice. Turn the whole relationship around.
Hmm. And it turned it all around. A kind word turns away wrath.
Over time, he was like, he could only be kind to me. I mean, he was like, well, how am I going to be mean to this guy when he's like actually being genuine and nice?
What was it? Jeff was saying one time, I can't remember exactly how it went, a road rage incident. And he decided, the guy was just raging at him just to say, well, gee, you know, the Lord just instantly wanted him to be nice. Instead of retaliating like he would be prone to do, he said, I'm sorry I did this, you know. And the guy just, like
he
said,
do?
Was deflated immediately
because
Jeff was humbled himself.
Yeah.
Said, I'm sorry, that, you know, I cut you off or whatever it was.
Right.
I remember him telling us about that.
That's a good example.
Of course, he had that holster on the side.
Yeah. The guy was like, that's cool.
But it is hard, you know, in the heat of the moment to be nice.
But you guys are right. If you come back,
because
that's the expectation is that if I say something really mean, then I'm expecting.
Yeah.
Oh well, you know, here's what's going to come my way.
Oh man!
But if you're nice, then it's like now you disarm the person.
Mm-hmm. Just say, Lord, help me. I want to punch him in the nose, but help me not to.
Yeah,
the Lord has people out there that are just opposite of, you know, that we just don't. jive with.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
I try to help Jenna with that because she's like, I don't understand why that woman was so mean to me. And I'm like, you know what? That's just the way it is. I mean, I can't even tell you how many people I've just been normal to, nice to, and it's like, they're just jerks to me. And I'm like, I don't know why. I just kind of... Okay.
Sometimes, that's it. Sometimes
it's a sinful
nature. Yeah. Strife is one of the big things that it turns into.
I'll say.
Arguments.
Yep.
And also, you know, we're prone when we get together to talk about other people. Mm-hmm. And we got to make sure that we're not backbiting and, you know, becoming talebearers when we do that. Like the Bible says, whispering. The Jews say, according to John Gill, the great historian who knows the Torah, I think, by heart, he says, the Jews say the sins of the tongue are equal to the sin of idolatry, adultery, murder, and are the cause of all sin. Powerful statement.
Whoa. Lord help us.
Well, every day on the news, the tongue gets people shooting each other with guns and everything else, you know, and arguing over nothing.
Yeah, in our day, the tongue is really
politics, being arguing over politics, drives people up something fierce.
Yeah, there's a lot of contention, strife, protesting. Mm-hmm. I never thought in my lifetime I would see people protesting in America.
Just every day.
I thought that was something that happened somewhere else in the world. Yeah. I didn't think we did that over here. You know, now it's just
every day almost, you know, some kind of protest.
Yeah, practically in Bend, it's almost every day on some street corner. There's signs out there, you know.
And I mean, if you
we hate out... candy on
Halloween. What is it?
Or oh, I don't know. I just said.
Well, the thing is, too, is like it's so filled with such tension that, like, if you went up into a group that had an opposite, you know, opinion of one, they're like, I don't know, like, go Trump. I mean, you might not make it out of there.
You're right.
Like, might get hurt.
People really riled up, aren't they?
Yeah.
Riled up.
Okay. It defiles the whole body. Accusations. That's another one that we're. You know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And so he, you know, we want to be careful we don't take his part in that. And, you know, in the church, we have discord, disagreements, strife. And we have heresies. You know, we have to correct things too. Okay. Well, I'm moving through this a lot faster than I could have. And did we read verses 7 and 8?
We did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, where it talks about how all these wild animals can be tamed. Paul knows all about that.
Tame some wild animals?
He likes to watch these videos where people have tamed, like, polar bears.
Really?
Like they're swimming in a swimming pool with a polar bear that's like 17 tons. The thing's head is like this.
Wow.
Well, and they raised them as cubs. That's why.
Yeah.
Even so, I don't know.
I know.
Yeah, and they have that one guy had a couple of grizzly bears, at least huge ones.
It'll be on the news.
Massive, yeah.
It'll be on the news. Man eaten by his polar bear.
Yeah, polar bear. You know, they're the biggest bears.
Yeah, probably the most vicious.
And I can't imagine, but that bear was tamed, you know.
There's an example of it right there.
It's just, you know, when you get an animal that size and you're in the swimming pool, I mean, just, you know, a little playful whap can be the end of you.
It was on the news yesterday. On NBC News, and I don't know if it was the United States or some other country, but this man climbed into the lion enclosure.
Oh, boy.
What?
Oh, yeah, I saw the lion home and killed him.
Horrible.
Where, Just recently?
It was just recently.
Yeah, it was just on the news yesterday.
He must have been on suicide mission, I guess.
It's a young teenager.
Oh, boy.
Wanted to tame these animals. He got in there and he closed with them. He got mauled to death.
But we do tame these. You know, yeah. It is pretty incredible that they can tame some of these wild beasts like that. Yeah. So he points that out and then compares it to the tongue, which can't be
tamed. That is quite the analogy.
That is.
I mean, it really is. I mean, it's like inside of just, it's, for us, it's impossible. It's impossible.
If the Lord didn't help us, we couldn't do it at any time.
Yeah, when we think of these big wild beasts who are savage, you know, powerful, we tame them, but we can't tame the tongue.
I'm surprised Jesus didn't add it to the list of things to chop off, you know, or pluck out, you know, almost, you know. It's like, man, that's scary. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, the lions, tigers, what we've seen, buffaloes,
yep.
Hippos, we've seen hippopotamuses.
Running in the house, pets. Happy,
what else have we seen?
Tigers.
Tame tigers. And lions. I know there's that lion guy. They call him the lion whisperer.
Yeah, they all seem to love him, but he might get it in the end, though.
Hey, there's Siegfried and Roy. Remember those guys?
Yeah, one of them got mauled, didn't they?
Elephant. They actually got bit in the head, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
That lion was like, you know what? I've had enough of all this stuff. You look tasty.
It is amazing. I don't know how they learned how they control whales and dolphins and birds. It's amazing. But the tongue can no man tame. And that's where, you know, you could ask, well, is that true of believers? Well, believers can tame the tongue because we have the Holy Spirit. That's the big difference there. And so we can have self-control and restraint and use our tongues to the glory of God.
I thought of a verse where the glory of the man is to pass over a transgression.
Yes.
Just let a lot of things, you know, just let it go. Is it that important to correct? Or, you know, some people are just always correcting others constantly. But why not just let it go? Who cares, you know?
Doesn't that come down to pride, though? I mean, a lot of times, you got me. You
I see
me
a lot of that detention, you know.
Yeah, we can be real critical of other people's kids, but you'll never be that critical of everyone.
You know, it's kind of funny. Well, it's kind of funny. I've never, you know. Before I had Everly, I never thought about kids at all. Jenna's been thinking about for a long time. And she's told me all the things that other people do that she's going to do different. And I do like to bring it up once in a while. I'm like, so how's that working out?
Pre-baby expectations versus reality.
If we did this with Beth and us, I mean,
yep.
A lot.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's right.
We were just chuckling.
I used to tell Jenna, it's going to be different for us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
So the first sin the tongue had a part of when Adam blamed God for the wife that he gave him.
The wife made me do it.
Yep. And that's how sin began.
It's still that way.
But what happened when the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost?
They spoke in tongues. Languages.
And flames of
fire.
Flames of the tongues of fire. And men were praising and speaking the wonderful works of God. Remember, they said, how do we hear all these wonderful works of God in our own language? I don't know if those guys who were speaking that knew what they were saying. But the Holy Spirit was having them speak the wonderful works of God.
It's interesting, Isaiah, so when he saw God, that God Or he says to God, I'm a man of unclean lips.
Yes.
It's interesting because I guess I would think of a whole lot of things as well. You know, there's all kinds of unclean things about me in and of myself.
Yep.
So then it's interesting that that was.
Yeah, I looked at that too, and I went to my concordance and I thought, I wonder if the Bible has much to say about unclean lips. Well, I found there were uncircumcised lips, feigned lips, flattering lips, lying lips, lips speaking guile, lips with swords, unadvisable lips, perverse lips, lips of a strange woman. The something of the lips tends to penury. Oh, the talk of the lips tends to penury. The transgression of lips, false lips, fool's lips, deceitful lips, dissembling lips, unclean lips, lips full of indignation.
Whoa.
I was shocked. Wow. And I looked at my concordance.
Yikes.
Jesus, cleanse me and save me. Yeah.
Help, Lord.
Wow.
Well, there's some really good examples of the evil of the tongue in the Bible. We'll look at those next time. And I think we'll